This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This bus family selling the Lakers.
You sort of knew this was coming.
What will the transition period look like?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Jeannie Buss here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, you know, it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. This is a family business. Most of the businesses in this country are family-owned businesses.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Prime Video TNF analyst Andrew Whitworth, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, Lakers are a family-owned business, along with Benjamins are now part of the bus. Is there a Benjamin bus? The Lakers, our neighbors down the street, are under new management soon. And we'll talk about it on this three-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number down, whether you're watching us on the Roku Sports Channel or listening to us on the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM, or the Odyssey app. 844-204-RICH is, in fact, the number to dial. Call us. We've got a lot of football on the brain, as always. That's got a trio of this kind of like the law firm, right, of Pelissero, Jeremiah, and Whitworth, you know?
We're here for you.
Injury attorneys.
Call one.
No, stop. No, they don't pay for it. But all three of them are on this program. Tom Pelissero right in the middle of the program. First up is going to be Daniel Jeremiah. Always love talking ball with him. Andrew Whitworth in hour number three. It's a What's More Likely Friday as well. 844-204-RICH, as I mentioned, is the number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher Bronkman. How are you?
Hey, what's more likely Friday on a Thursday?
That's true. Because I guess I'm already...
I know, it's in our brain, if you will, not out of here. Be here
we're not on tomorrow's program because all of us are going to be making our way to New York City. Overreaction Monday at Fanatics Fest in New York City at the Javits Center on Saturday morning. And then Saturday afternoon, No Contest Wrestling will have its podcast in front of the gathering at the Javits Center. So we're all on a travel day tomorrow. Mike Del Tufo, though, will be at his post. Good to see you again, Mike. How are you?
Hey, how you guys
Mikey
doing?
D.
Hey,
I didn't
Mike's
know you still worked here.
I'm shocked.
It's great. It's kind of like, you know... An audio executive nesting doll over there. You snap mic open and Jay Felly's inside. Today, we just put the Mike Del Tufo right on top. Good to see you, Mikey.
Good to see you guys.
TJ Jefferson, candles lit. Good to see you over there.
I remember once I got done wrong in a fantasy football trade, guys, so I called the law firm of Pelissero and Whitworth.
Okay.
And they helped me out.
Very good.
Quite a bit.
Daniel Jeremiah will join us.
Almost stuck that way.
He almost did. You just write down the names. That's all.
I was waiting for him to cut me off.
844, again, 204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. The Lakers just sold for $10 billion, and not for the entire 100% as well. We'll talk about that on this program. They live right down the street from us, so hopefully... whatever rolls downhill will hit us. And that'll be a conversation we have on this program later on.
Like some spare change?
But listen, as you know, we've always got football on the brain. And amongst the storylines in the American Football Conference, as we are 1 month away from training camp season being afoot, and you look across the American Football Conference landscape, and we're talking about mostly the Pittsburgh Steelers because Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback. And we were talking about the Steelers waiting for Rodgers and Why would they wait for somebody? They're the Pittsburgh friggin' Steelers, and why is Rodgers making them wait? And now that's already done because Rodgers actually showed up just in time for the mandatory minicamp, and he is there. What will that mean? Their schedule just shows one must-see TV event after another, starting with the Jets in week one. Justin Fields, formerly of the Steelers, now with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers, formerly with the Jets, now with the Steelers. Right off the bat, here we go. And then DK Metcalf, formerly with the Seahawks, visiting the Steelers for their home opener with Aaron Rodgers in week two. DK Metcalf, former Seahawk, welcoming them in into his first game at home in Acrisure Stadium. Here we go. And the AFC North and the NFC North, meaning Rodgers taking on the Green Bay Packers. That's all we're talking about. Unless you want to talk about what we started with yesterday, the Ravens adding Jair Alexander to their defense and Lamar Jackson speaking for the first time since losing in the playoffs to the Buffalo Bills, talking about how the team is going to be coming up into training camp season with a sense of vengeance. And that's how they're going to play, with vengeance. And one of the reasons why they're starting on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo is because vengeance was on the minds of the schedule makers. They wanted to put a big fat piece of filet mignon steak on the first Sunday of the season. And here come the Buffalo Bills. Let's talk about them. It's time for them to finally get to the Super Bowl with the reigning MVP, Josh Allen, who's, as we all know, had a dynamite spring as well. He's married. He's got a registry. And on the registry, you want to give him a piece of Tiffany hardware? That's what you usually sometimes do for somebody. Usually it's in the form of a gravy boat, but a hell of a gravy boat. You can actually pour gravy, I imagine, down a Lombardi trophy right onto somebody's turkey. Talk about them. Not many people talking about the team that we are supposedly so sick and tired of talking about. Maybe that's why nobody's talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Very much. And the reason why we start talking about them today is they were talking yesterday. Travis Kelce talking. We haven't heard from him very much other than on his own podcast. Here he is in front of a microphone. I believe for the first time, maybe he hit the microphone after he said he was sticking around. I don't think so. I think this is the first time. I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, mea culpa. Worst things in the world. This is the first time he's talking about why he came back for another season after losing in the Super Bowl. Hit it.
Decision to come back for another year. How serious were you?
I mean, I love football. I don't think I really thought about it that much. You know, my friends and family and the team and, you know, the guys and women in this building, I love coming into work every single day. It wasn't a very tough one for me. I know, you know, I'm getting older, but at the same time, I still feel like I got a lot that I can prove in this league. And with that being said, man, it really wasn't that hard of a decision for me.
Not that hard of a decision. And the reason why people are bringing this up, not that hard of a decision, is because, again, of the way Kelce finished up last year and what his numbers were last year. His numbers last year, I have them in front of me. The fewest receiving yards in a season for him since 2015. 823 yards, as a matter of fact. I need to amend that. It's the lowest he's ever had in any season in which he started 16 games of his career. He started 16 games in 2015, had 875 yards receiving. He had 823 last year. His three touchdowns last year, fewest of any season of his career. And then there was the Super Bowl, in which we were expecting maybe another Mahomes-Kelce magic. But as you know, there was zero magic on that night because the Eagles pulled back the curtain on every single trick the Kansas City Chiefs had. Hit it.
You said you failed to be a leader in the Super Bowl. What do you mean by that?
I just didn't make the plays that I thought I should have made. I didn't get open in certain situations. Blocking the right guys, having my attention to detail, motivating my guys to, you know, get the you know, the energy and the focus and the confidence that we needed during that game. You know, and I just, in that area, I just felt like I failed my guys.
I just love the man's honesty, obviously, and just taking of responsibility. And listen, he is now, let me get this correct as well, 35 years old. He turns, let me get this exactly right. I should have had it beforehand. He turns 36. Week, I got this right. Week five of the season. As a matter of fact, Travis Kelce will be celebrating his 36th birthday the day before he goes and visits Jacksonville on the Monday night football game of the season for Jacksonville in week five. He'll be 36 that night. First game as a 36-year-old. The reason why I'm bringing all of this up now, Travis Kelce, we already know, has a white-hot spotlight on him based on who he's dating. Straight up.
Yeah.
Okay? In a way that even another person with his resume, clear, surefire, first ballot, Hall of Fame, 5 years, as soon as he says, I am done, he's going in. And when he walks into that bust room, he will already see his brother there. Remember that, there's no dispute. But the reason why I bring this up, he will be the avatar. He will be the focus as to whether the Chiefs are finally vulnerable and can get got in their dynastic run. Because at some point, Brady no longer had Randy Moss. He no longer had Welker. At some point in that respect, at some point, Mahomes will no longer have Kelce. And is this the beginning of the Chiefs potentially hanging on to the past? Is this potentially the moment where they're not able to transition with another team that is equally as dynastic as the Mahomes 1.0? When Mahomes goes into the Hall of Fame and we look back, we will be talking about one of two things. He and Reed and the Chiefs and Brett Veach and the Hunt family was able to reboot it, do it again with a whole group of other people, including potentially somebody who will be equally as attached at Mahomes' hip in terms of Mahomes and fill in the blank as Mahomes and Kelce, if not equally, but in the same realm. And that moment, we're wondering, how long will that transition be? How long did Brady have between Super Bowl wins in his Patriots tenure? Right, Chris? 10 years.
Mm-hmm. 10.
He did make it back to Super Bowls.
He did.
Again, Kelce will be the one, fair or not, looking at him. Is he going to be the same Travis Kelce as previous years? Because it is now, as he goes into this season, it will be two consecutive years without 1,000 yards receiving. Fair or not, that's the way it's going to be looked at. This guy will be the guy. Is he the guy anymore? Can Mahomes connect with him? And this is a team that with him last year and all of that made the Super Bowl anyway. Andy Reid's already being asked if he's going to back off of Kelce because he's soon to be 36. Here was his answer.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling that. More be similar to last year, I would imagine, and as it goes. So he's in great shape right now. So I think he's, you know, he's looking forward to getting going.
So no concessions
in terms of his age?
Listen, I always watch him. You know, I always keep an eye on him. I know he's getting older. He doesn't know he's getting older, but I do. So I can be the bad guy in some cases there, and if needed. But if I think it's catching up to him a little bit, I'll pull off and put him where he needs to be. But other than that, he hasn't shown me any of that yet.
Lost 25 pounds. He's coming in full shape. Reed's like, yeah, not seeing it. I think there's going to be a chip on Kelsey's shoulder because of everything I just said, and I think he is the guy. It's not going to be on defense. Maybe Chris Jones. You're going to see if he's lost a step. Doubt it. This is it. This could be it in Kelsey's last year. Don't know anyway. Could not. Maybe it's not. Don't know. But everybody's thinking maybe the Chiefs can get got. And is this the time where the Patriots back in the day used to end their relationship with people before the diminishing returns hit earlier? You go down the list of people that they did that to.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Richard Seymour's one of them.
Long and distinguished, man.
Right?
Lawyer Malloy. All of them.
Keep going down.
Deion Branch got traded.
Or Kelsey's just going to come back stronger than ever.
That's a big presumption.
I know. And guess what I'm about to do? A win-loss game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Because guess what?
Wow.
I have nobody's called in to do it yet.
That's
the latest example of why nobody's talking about them. Hit it. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to start in Brazil against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Me encanta Brasil.
And they're going to win that game.
Ooh.
Then they're going to go home and take on the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're going to win that game. Then they're going to go to the New York Giants, and they're going to win that game. Then they're going to come home and take on the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to win that game. They're going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars on a Monday night. Travis Kelce is going to, how about this? Wait for it. Celebrate his 36th birthday by tearing it up and scoring twice in the game. They're 5-0. Then they're going to go home and take on the Detroit Lions. They're going to win that game. They're going to be 6-0. They're going to welcome in the Las Vegas Raiders into their house. Pardon me, Freudian slip. They'll win that game. Then they're going to have a Monday Night Football home game against the Washington Commanders, and they'll win that game. They're going to be 8-0 going into Buffalo, because that's what happens with the Kansas City Chiefs every single year. And they're going to lose that game because the Buffalo Bills beat the Kansas City Chiefs in Western New York quite frequently. They'll lose that game. They're going to have a bye week. And sure enough, this is what is just a chef's kiss from the schedule makers to the Kansas City Chiefs, that they go into Denver coming off of a bye week and a loss in Buffalo. Otherwise, I would think they'd lose this game in Denver. But Andy Reid doesn't lose games coming off of a bye week. They'll win that game. They'll have the Colts in their house. They'll win that game. They're going to go to Dallas, TJ Jefferson. They're going to give you some serious indigestion in that game. They're going to win that one as well. They're going to come home and take on the Houston Texans. They're going to win that game. Whoa. Then they're going. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Then they're going to have the Los Angeles Chargers in their house. They're going to win that game. They're going to go to the Tennessee Titans. They'll win that game. They'll have the Denver Broncos at home on a Thursday night. They'll lose that game, and everyone's going to be about, what's up with the Kansas City Chiefs? And they'll just say, we'll just rest everybody in Las Vegas and win that game and go 15-2 again and be the one seed. And here we go.
Wow.
Yep. Until I see otherwise, I'm going to assume the Chiefs are going to be as good, as well coached.
So are they going to get
youthful?
Are they
going
to block field goals at the buzzer? Are they going to get weird officiating to go there? Yes, it kind of does.
Guess what?
Last year they had all this weird stuff happen when they were really a 9 or 10 win team, and then they got absolutely smoked in the Super Bowl.
Guess what? Yes.
They'll get handled when it gets handled.
Yes, they will. They will. And as a matter of fact,
Stone Street's still going to call you back.
You want to talk about what's... No, no, no. You want to talk about what's old is new again? You want to talk about what's old is new again? Patrick Mahomes has decided to finally, for the first time, Sean Mitchell, of the Rich Eisen Show digital coordinating producer, he's the only one around here who notices this sort of stuff, because he's the one who creates the thumbnails for all of the awesome YouTube videos that you kindly... consume on our YouTube channel. He notices this up. First new headshot since 2021. Oh. I can't even tell which is old and which is new. Can you?
Yeah, we can't.
Which is old and which is new?
Brockman and I discussed his haircut.
Which one is new? Left or right?
Well, left is new.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, left is new.
I couldn't tell. Yeah. I'm like, which one is it? I can't tell. Because it's the same Mahomes. It's the same Andy Reid. And I think Kelsey's going to have a renaissance season. And until I see different, that's the way I'm feeling.
You always tell us not to fall for the cheese. I think you're eating cheese right now.
Okay. By the way, Travis Hunter's taking real offense to the fact that he's going to have two touchdowns.
He might even have one against my unicorn, too. Wow. Travis on Travis violence. What say you? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a break. Daniel Jeremiah, when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. If you're like me, then you are just not yourself when you get a bad night's sleep. Look, sleep plays an important, crucial role in recovery. We're all unique in what we need from our bed, too. That's where Sleep Number can step in. Sleep Number smart beds are the best beds for couples because you can individualize each side. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but we like our side of the bed the way that we like it. Being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out, too, for recovery, it's game-changing. So, why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? I just told you, but I'll do it again. So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. And now, it's the Sleep Number 4th of July sale. Save over $600 on the Sleep Number P5 King smart bed. The lowest price of the season. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See the store or sleepnumber.com for details. All right, back here on the show. Listen, what does a Padre and a Yankee fan do at this time of the year? Talk to one another to forget about following baseball. And so joining us right now on the Rich Eisen Show is none other than Daniel Jeremiah. Oh, yeah, you got the antacid tablets, huh?
That's what happens when you just can't score a freaking run.
Oh,
man.
Tell me about it.
Goodness gracious.
Tell me about it, man. You're chewing those when Andy Páez comes to the plate. And I'm chewing them when anybody from the Yankees comes to the plate right now, or Volpe gets a double play ball hit directly at him. I don't know if you watched any of that last night while your team was losing again.
No, Brockman actually texted me that Xander Bogaerts did something well last night, assuming that I hadn't got so frustrated by that point in time that I already turned the game off.
Yeah.
And I'm so jaded at this point in time. Even when I look online and see they've tied it at 3 and the inning ends, I'm like, I'm not going to tune in to watch the Dodgers walk this thing off. No chance.
Well, you had been talking smack about Xander, and he had a big hit to tie the game last night. And I'm like, Xander! And then Will Smith immediately hit a walk-off, so I felt bad for
him. So is a 467 OPS good for the month? Is that good? Because I don't think it is. I mean, I'm not a big numbers guy, but...
No.
And then Brockman's team basically hands the Giants Rafael
what
Devers.
What are they doing? Can your GM just not get along with star players? Like, what is going on here,
It
man?
Seems like he's an emotionalist robot and who doesn't know how to relate to players, even though he was one for a dozen years.
Emotionalist robot?
That's what I've heard.
Interesting.
That's what I've heard people describe him as.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. But as a Padre fan, when you guys decide to get rid of, like, your best player, can we stop shipping him to the Dodgers and the Giants? Can you at least farm them out outside another division?
Well, you got one, and he's turned into...
That is not the bronze medal. We did not make it to the podium on that one.
Well, you signed a 30-year-old. You know what I mean? I mean, Devers is 28, and, you know, obviously.
I don't know.
Mookie was in his prime pre-prime. He's in his prime now.
Pre-prime, yeah.
Anyway.
It hasn't been great.
It's good to see you, Daniel Jeremiah, everybody, right here on the program. Daniel Jeremiah, my buddy from NFL Network, NFL Media Group, and a man who calls Chargers games locally here on the Chargers Radio Network. Daniel Jeremiah back here on the program. Good to see you, DJ.
Good to see you, buddy.
You were sitting in your chair listening to me say the Chiefs are going to go 15-2 again, you know, same as it ever was. Your thoughts on hearing that?
I mean, look, once a scout, always a scout. You always talk about how, you know, you're always evaluating. You're always, you know, paying attention to things, trying to solve riddles. And I don't know, is TJ there as well today?
Yes, he is indeed. Okay. TJ Jefferson, ladies and gentlemen.
So TJ, and I'm going to go to Brockman. You guys be my jury on this because I'm trying to put a case together like an investigator would. And I just want you guys be the jury and let me know if I'm on to something here. Okay, you ready?
Love it. Yes, sir.
Okay, so here are the facts of the case. Rich just went on this long diatribe about the Chiefs are going to go 15-2.
Yeah.
That's where we start. Brockman, you mentioned one of Rich's good buddies, a friend of ours as well, but a very close friend of Rich, Eric Stonestreet, big Chiefs fan.
Correct.
If you've paid attention and you've watched Instagram ads over the summer, you know Eric Stonestreet has a plum deal with Norwegian Cruise Line.
Also true.
Then if you also were to take in Rich in his complexion right now, you'll notice a little bit of a bronze tan that he has working right now. I don't know where Rich has been. I know I see some pictures. It looks like maybe overseas on a nice trip. No. Was that airfare or, wait for it, was that a free Norwegian cruise that he got from Stone Street? And now we have the 15-2 Kansas City Chiefs. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, or just gentlemen of the jury, I would ask you to render a verdict on if this could be a plausible situation.
Nope. You're very wrong. You couldn't be further off. By the way, that's my defense. How dare you?
Carnival.
No. First of all, I'm not a cruise guy. Number two, other than Tom. Number two. How dare you think I can be bought off with some sort of cruise? I mean, because I know you.
That's why.
Wow. Tell me I'm off. You know what? You're looking at the Chiefs getting longer in the tooth, and now they can finally, they won't be as good as last year, or last year was a mirage.
I'm looking at that schedule, and I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens. That is a really, really good football team right there. I'm looking at. I'm not saying they're going to lose all these games, but when you look on there and you see Baltimore and you see Detroit and you see Buffalo and two games with Denver and the Chargers always play them tough, you're going to go play on Thanksgiving and on Christmas. Those are short weeks. So I don't know. To me, look, they're going to be a playoff team. They're going to be a 12-plus win team. I just thought 15-2.
Yeah.
I couldn't get to 15-2. So I would be more like a 12. I still can't get used to the 17 game numbers, by the way. I have to like think through it. Yeah. Feels more like a 12-5 type team to me.
Okay. So now let's jump into some of the headlines from the last few weeks here, DJ. Starting with, this is the first time you and I are talking since Rodgers signs with Pittsburgh. Your thoughts on the marriage, how it's going to work. And what to expect, Daniel?
I'm curious. I think like anybody would be. I think just talent wise, Rodgers, even at this point in his career, at the very end here, is still more talented than what they ran out there last year. So if you're going to look at the encouraging signs, to me, I think you've upgraded in talent. I like the fact that this is not an Aaron Rodgers led. Organization or driven organization in terms of the offense that they're running, in terms of the players that they brought in. He's not getting the chance to to play general manager here and have that much influence over the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I think is actually going to benefit him. And the Steelers never have losing seasons. So I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's very controversial to say like this is going to be a 10-win team. Maybe it's a, you know, the range is like 9 to 11 somewhere in there. But it just feels like they're gonna, you know, they're gonna be a good team. They're gonna be in the playoffs. But he's not good enough, nor is the roster in good enough position for them to do a lot of damage once they get to the postseason.
Is that your 2 cents on it? Huh? At the end of the day, it's just going to be another.
Don't they feel like narrow? Like if this would be an interesting segment, and it's the off season, and we're all looking for some type of content.
Yes, sir.
Like, who has like as your golf, and we got a big tournament coming up, Rich. You talk about shot dispersion, like
yes.
Wind dispersion. Like who has the tightest dispersion there? Like who would you say like we know the most about them? They are going to, and that's the Steelers. They're going to win 9 to 11 games. They feel like that's. I don't see them winning 6 games. I don't see them winning 13 games. It feels like that's exactly who they are.
Right, and then when it comes to the playoffs, you would.
I
just
don't think they have enough firepower. The AFC. There's just those AFC teams. The quarterbacks, the offenses that you have to run through. I just don't know if they have enough firepower.
Okay. What about the Cleveland Browns quarterback race? I mean, you knew we would be discussing this all the way through to training camp, right? And up to week one of the season when you and I left the set in Green Bay after watching Shador drop all the way down to the 5th round after Dylan Brooks gets drafted and we know Pickett and then Flacco are there. How do you see this shaking out as we're waiting for training camp to start, DJ?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Flacco probably has his spot reserved, and then it's going to be 3 for 2. So you got those three young guys competing for the 2 spots, and I would say, you know, based off of Gabriel where he was picked, based off of the ability, you know, and I go back to, you know, it seems like a million years ago in Green Bay, but I mean. Shador was my 20th player. He's a first round caliber player. Like talent wise, both those guys, I think have a huge advantage over Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett has to be light years better than each of them to make the team. So I would say if you're going to ask me to kind of, you know, predict how it's going to go down, I would say you're going to have those two rookies and Joe Flacco. Hmm. Kenny Pickett's going to have to be Superman to make the roster. And then, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, I think Joe Flacco is just in case they don't feel like they can be competent at the position, then you insert Joe. I think their week one starter is going to be, I think it's going to be one of those two rookies. I really feel that way.
Really? So you think Flacco will just wind up being a veteran presence in the quarterback room for your starter, Dylan Brooks or Shador Sanders? DJ?
Yeah,
I
think,
pardon me?
Yeah, you get those two young guys. I think you have to learn this year. You know, they made that trade, so they've got some ammunition for next year, and I'm just starting to peek at some of these quarterbacks. I'll have a better feel for what that could look like here over the next month. But at next year at this time, they have to know what they have in those two rookies. They have to see them. They got to get one of them. And that's why, to me, I don't think you waste time. It's not, okay, let's let Joe Flacco let these guys get comfortable, and then we can kind of maybe see who wins it between those two guys, and we insert them in week 8, week 10. Like, you have to evaluate these two kids that you just drafted so that next year at this time, or, you know, sorry, before the draft, before this next draft, you have some clarity of what you have on campus.
Any concerns of Shador going 41 miles per hour above the 60-mile-an-hour speed limit recently?
You know, DJ? Obviously, it's not great. I just feel like we've seen more of this. I don't know if it's obviously, he's in a different situation. But kids now have – Rich, if you look at it – and I know people have talked about Georgia and their program and all the speeding issues they've had there. These kids now, a lot of them – I mean, And as someone who has 4 kids, you have kids, like a lot of these kids drive later now. It's not like when we were growing up, you turn 16, you get your license. Like people drive later. And then all of a sudden now these kids with NIL are getting these souped up cars that are so fast. And it's like, it's not a great combination. Now he's in a different situation, you know, with Dion and having a chance to have a nicer car and do all those things. And I don't think that we have mature drivers. And I think it goes beyond just Shador. It's not a great look, but it feels like we're seeing a lot more of that now with athletes than we've ever seen.
Right. I just feel like obviously in this situation when he was drafted in the 5th round that any sort of conversation piece outside of football that he would provide to anybody, media, team, front office, is just, it's a massive mistake, regardless of just, hey, just chalk it up and forget about it. But
yeah, it's not, it's not a good look. I just feel like, Rich, it's not anything specific to him. We're seeing something like this happen on a weekly basis. I mean, I think that somebody said the big center from Purdue or whatever just was.
Yeah, Zach Edey as well. I mean, my goodness. I've got Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. Anything else out of minicamp season jumps out at you? The fact that Anthony Richardson wasn't healthy enough to take any snaps, that's Daniel Jones's gig. What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the Shane Steichen's words were pretty effusive in his praise there of Daniel Jones. I've you know, been intrigued by what's going on with Jackson Dart. You know, I feel like he almost, it seems weird, he's at the New York Giants and that market. But Shadur, you know, as you can, you know, always predict what's going to happen, is going to swallow the headlines. But man, everything that I've read about Jackson Dart seems to be pretty positive.
Meaning what? What do you think?
I think he's got a chance to play pretty darn early here. You know, we'll see how it goes, but you just kind of listen to the words of Brian Daboll and you just got the sense like this was his guy. Like, he's invested in him and he seems to really, really like him. And he, you know, had Josh Allen. Once they got him in there, they were able to learn through some of the mistakes and get to a really good place. And it just, I don't know, it sounds a little different the way he's talking about him. And to me, that makes it sound like, hey, this isn't something that it's like, hey, this is a redshirt year for him as they hand the ball to Russell Wilson for a full season. I think we're going to see a lot of Jackson Dart this year.
You do. Okay. Any 2 cents on when? I mean, the Giants' bye is late this year. As a matter of fact, it's a week 14 bye, so it's not going to be, you know, one of those, well, it's week 5, week 6, they're, you know, 2-4. They're 3-3 or whatever, and let's go.
Look at
to
that.
The
look
kid.
At that week 6 this week 7 10-day gap there. Okay. After the Thursday night game against Philly, which by the way, that with that group in Philadelphia, I'd be okay with him missing that game.
right?
You know, that's kind of where it would be. So it would be at Denver. Week 7. That's my early prediction.
Okay.
And then he gets to face Philly the following week. So there you go. He only has to face him once.
Right. I guess, you know, I mean, but that stretch too, at Denver, home for Philly, at San Francisco. I mean, listen, you look at everybody's schedule right now and it looks absurd. What do you think about I keep saying Travis Hunter's not going to be 22 forever, right? And just go take it. Just do it. Just go ahead and do it. You want to ramp them up. Week 5, Monday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs on ESPN. Give me 100 snaps at that point in time. Like, let's go. None of this business of we got to work him in. We got to make sure he's got a long career. I think he can do this two-way thing for quite some time, this kid. What do you think now, here mid-June?
I mean, I think, first of all, you guys need to get the drop from Dumb and Dumber where he says, just go, man. When he's on the motorcycle. So let's get that prepared.
Okay.
I mean, you don't know until you do it. And he, you know, we hadn't really seen it at the collegiate level and he pulled it off. I mean, we can all have theories of, you know, can you hold up and do this at the NFL level with grown men in a more physical environment? But man, looking at these pictures of him right now, it's hard to argue against that this guy's built a little different now. Yeah, you don't know until you try it. And at this point in time, just getting going. Once he's comfortable enough and you have a working knowledge of everything he needs to know on both sides of the ball, I mean, I think there's a little bit of an experiment here. Let's see how much he can handle and let's see if he can do it. Because if he can, Rich, if he actually can play those 100 snaps, man, you talk about value. Holy cow.
Well, what is the issue? What would be your concern? Literally, the concern is.
My concern is the physicality on the defensive side of the ball. I think in the NFL at corner, you have more physical responsibilities than you do in college. And the NFL, they're going to pull him in closer to the line of scrimmage. They're going to design run game where he's going to be the unblocked defender, and he's going to have to tackle 230-pound grown men repeatedly. So that to me, and that builds throughout a very, very long season. So that to me is the part that I worry about. It's not him getting hit on offense, you know, and all that stuff. They've made the game safer from that standpoint over the years. But I just think the corner position, it's not like it used to be where you've got, you know, the left, you're the left corner and you're going to go all the way outside the numbers and hang out there on the perimeter. And we're just asking you to cover. Like if you can't tackle a corner right now, you can't play. And if you are going to, you know, be able to physically withstand that toll that you're going to have to pay while you're also getting all those snaps on the offensive side of the ball, that's where the concern for me is.
Before I let you go, Daniel Jeremiah, the team or subject matter that you're hearing about when you're texting people, calling people, chit-chatting with people, scouts, front office, GM, coaches, whomever, what are we not talking about? What are you hearing about? Lay it out for me, Daniel.
Well, I think there's a lot of excitement about some of these young quarterbacks. I think the quarterback class that we had last year, there's so much buzz on it. There is excitement with those fan bases, with Chicago, you know, with Caleb paired up with Ben Johnson, with Bo Nix, and, you know, in year two, where can he take that thing? Drake May, there's been a lot of buzz out of there of how good he looks. Jaden Daniels has already shown us what he's capable of. Is there another whole level? You know, Penix with the huge arm, and what is that now? As he's had a full offseason, it's his team, it's his offense. What does that look like? I can't remember a time where we had guys in one class, this many quarterbacks that have generated this much buzz and excitement. And I'm excited to see what the sophomore year looks like.
Well, you left out J.J. McCarthy.
And also, then J.J., yeah,
well, that's another big one. Right, I mean, and that's the one guy that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
You know?
And that, to me, that's the unknown. And I would say over-the-top optimism that I've heard on the others. And then with JJ, I think, look, just because we haven't seen him in a game, they're not using these words, but I would say more like cautiously optimistic. Like, I think there's a belief there, but I think there's also a little bit unknown. So, you could do a weekly segment on just following around those second-year quarterbacks, man. It'd be easy.
Yeah, and Spencer Rattler in New Orleans, where they just drafted Tyler Shuck for a new head coach, and Derek Carr's clearly not in the picture there anymore. That's another one from last year's class that actually meshes with this year's, you know?
Yeah. To me, my year is going to be kind of split between following those guys. I'm curious about these rookie class we got this year, but those guys have star potential in that second year group. And then also looking ahead, Rich, to this upcoming quarterback class. And is there a chance that, you know, we have another year where we potentially have, you know, four or five first round picks?
So then who's the Cam Ward in that one? 'Cause we weren't talking Cam Ward now. Last year, right? Who's the Cam Ward to look at in this year's?
Well, I mean, there's class. I mean, I feel like we've heard about him, but I mean, Lenore Sellers is one that teams have, you know, done some homework on. I know our buddy Bruce Feldman just did a big piece on him on The Athletic. So he's at South Carolina, and he's just a big athletic, talented guy. If he continues to kind of climb that trend line here, there's real potential for him to go much higher than maybe people anticipate.
Okay. Daniel, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. Let's connect again in the summer, please.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, just keep your head down and let's not be too big here. Just get the ball in the fairway. The fairways and greens, baby.
That's it. That's all I'm going
to
do.
Rich, does DJ want our answers to his question he posed earlier?
Which is what?
Well, DJ, you asked the question. So I have here, I wrote down some Rich, the Chiefs, 15
okay,
and 2.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Stone Street and then Norwegian / Carnival Cruise, possible payola. Is that what you're getting?
How dare you,
DJ?
How dare you? The man clearly has to go, and we've got a sports update to get you.
How dare you?
Thank you, Daniel. Daniel Jeremiah.
Have fun playing shuffleboard. We'll see you. Bye.
That's right.
Just go, man.
Nice. We got the drop. Play it one more time for DJ. Play it for one more time.
Come on. Hang on.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Just go, man.
There you go.
Still too far.
You ask, you receive. Daniel nice Jeremiah, work. Everybody. Yeah. All right.
See you, buddy.
What are your feelings now that Alex Smith has been unofficially traded away, to use your phraseology here?
It's awkward. I honestly don't know how to really accept it. I mean, my entire career, you can't say Travis Kelce without Alex Smith. I mean, he's been my quarterback. He's been the guy that's arguably I owe a lot of my success to him, you know? So it's going to be awkward going into a huddle, like I said, with anybody but Alex. But I know Pat is ready for the opportunity.
Sure.
He's taking a lot of mental reps and a lot of notes from Alex and how this thing should be ran. Alex ran it to an absolute T this past season. And, you know, obviously everyone's excited to see what he can do.
Well, how did you learn about it yesterday, the trade?
Twitter. Yeah, my girlfriend called me and told me what's going on with Alex, and sure enough, I went on Twitter, and everything told me that he was being traded to Washington.
Now, you know, we don't usually get into the personal life here on the show, but is this the young lady from Catching Kelsey?
This is not the young lady from Catching Kelsey.
So it was... Catching
Kelsey.
We just
need to put that show in, the archives.
Oh, no! Really?
It was a fun show, but it really wasn't that fun afterwards. And,
So Catching Kelsey and release.
Yes, catch and fumble Kelsey.
Yes.
Not a catch.
It was not a catch.
It was one of those.
The ground, is it a catch? Jesse James, is it
the relationship
catch?
Did not survive the ground, is what you're saying.
It didn't. But now we have a catch.
Amazing.
Okay.
We have a catch. Might have a touchdown.
Might
have a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So there's a celebration dance then of
some
sort.
There will be if further review. It's under review. The catch is under review. So we'll see where it goes.
All right. The red challenge flag still in the pocket for Travis Kelsey on the Rich Eisen Show. And look, Mahomes, we had Chris Harris of the Broncos on game day morning in the playoffs. And he said when he was looking at film of Mahomes, and he played a couple of series against him.
Yeah.
He says this kid's got some serious ability. The Broncos said that.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything of that note, Ed?
Without a doubt. I mean, what he does in practice is it's fun to watch him in practice because kind of he's on the scout team, kind of just being a backyard quarterback, throwing it all every way imaginable you can think of, sidearm, underhand. Chuck putting the ball anywhere on the field. So it was definitely fun watching him in that regard. And it's, like I said, it's going to be exciting to see where he can go with it because the expectation is definitely high.
Man, I just love when we play that soundbite back where he's just expectations high for Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith's my guy. And those were all legitimate concerns and thoughts at the time. And now he and Mahomes are synonymous with each other. And they're going to go 15-2 again. With the guy on the left, the guy on the right, and then the guy on the left, same guy. It's a different haircut.
He'll get handled when he gets handled.
It's so funny. You look at that, and obviously, you know, the haircut, you know, he looks a little older on the left.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just curious, when are you going to update your headshot?
What are you talking about?
We have it.
Yeah.
And we have your old one, and when are you going to get a new one?
That's my old one. Right? Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do need to take a new shot because I haven't been clean shaven in quite some time.
Yeah, so. Just looking out for you.
Daniel Jeremiah saying he thinks Jackson Dart has a shot to play sooner rather than later. Man, is that because Russ won't perform very well, or maybe Russ would be in the position of Justin Fields this year? You get the first six, and then as soon as Dart's ready, he's ready.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Or Dart will just look so damn good in training camp that they got to go with him. And thanks for signing with us, Russ and Jameis. But it's time. We traded up for him, and our owner wants to see some dubs. And this is the kid that we can get the dubs with, and it'll be exciting. And if Jackson Dart is one of those exciting rookies, I'll tell you, the Giants' schedule takes on a whole different look. If this is the kid that's going to go out there and start performing like a stud rookie quarterback with some abilities and some exciting throws and exciting moments, look at the first three.
Their schedule is so hard.
You know, Washington and Dallas on the road and home for Kansas City. I would think, and home for Los Angeles. I would think you'd stick your veteran out there.
I mean,
right.
But Daniel's like, look at the 10 days off between the short week home date against Saquon on Amazon Prime, and look at that visit to Sean Payton in Denver. I mean, listen, Cam Ward's first start is going to be at Denver, and we're talking about it like, good luck, sir. and he's the first overall pick. You're going to stick Jackson Dart out there in Denver for his first game? I guess it doesn't matter. Training wheels are going to have to come off at Philadelphia, home for San Francisco, at Chicago, Green Bay.
But if they're 1-5, then what does it matter?
I get it. Now you got to do that just to show the fan base what we have in Jackson Dart. I honestly thought it would be a redshirt year. You have not one but two veterans sitting there for a reason. For a reason. That you just get through it, get Dart whatever he can get, mental reps, you know, the virtual reps, and then stick him out there towards the end of the season. So there'll be something exciting and something, I mean, not to turn this into a love boat, exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you, Jackson Dart, you know. And then the owners can say, oh, Daboll is the right guy. Here we go. I don't know how this is going to go. Man, what a fascinating development that would be if Jackson Dart starts sooner rather than later, as Daniel Jeremiah just dropped on us. What's more likely coming up? One other thing to mention here, again, I don't know. Shedeur Sanders popped for driving 101 in a 60-mile-an-hour zone just shy of 1 a.m. in Ohio. He knows better. He knows better, because this could be just one of those youthful things, and, you know, we can talk it off. And, hey, it's just, you know, it's 20 to 1 in the morning. He was sober. He wasn't doing anything stupid other than just speeding, and he got popped. It's just anything.
Yeah.
Anything that isn't him spinning it. Whether it's on air and 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, anything that takes the conversation away from football is bad for him. And anything that he provides in that department to give anybody out there any reason to say, well, that's why he was drafted in the fifth round. Mm-hmm. After all, any fuel he puts to that is a mistake.
Could have been a jaywalking ticket.
Dude, it doesn't matter.
But it's fast. It is.
Dude, there's just nothing to say. Like, heaven forbid, God forbid, you know, who knows? But just any headline, any paragraph, any sentence, anything that he provides to take the subject matter away from his hard work, dedication, professionalism, tunnel vision on being the best and having a shot at being the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Daniel Jeremiah just said he thinks the way it's going to go is Pickett, unless Pickett just completely outshines both rookies. Pickett's going to be the odd man out.
Wow.
Which means anybody that's looking for quarterback depth, or maybe an emergency starter, Pickett could be available in the middle of August, late August. Not great for Kirk Cousins either, because he would be the cheaper option. Certainly if the Browns might put him on the street anyway. But Daniel's thinking, rookie week one, Flacco's there as just the adult in the room backup. Okay, and he would know, he's got the sense of things. That means Shedeur has a shot, which is like, slow down. You move too fast. Don't give anybody a single ounce against you. Hour number two coming up on the program.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal! With that cannon of a left foot. All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot from distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.